and welcome to On the Corner, the official podcast, pitchless.com. I'm your host, Eric Samolsky, joined by Nick Pollock and Cashew.
Yes. Hi, Eric. We missed you, buddy.
Yeah. Well, listen, we had one after my vacation.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, but it was, and this one's a little later than we normally do, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's night. We're no, back.
I mean, I just missed you in the past week, Eric.
Yeah, no. Well, listen, it's a lot has gone on, and you know, there's an excitement, there's a camaraderie in the city, and so it feels like we haven't been together.
Yeah, speaking of things you missed.
Yeah. Oh, come on. I have a sick child, Nick.
I have a sick child. Eric did not see game four of the NBA Finals live.
Yes, I may have. With my sick child, I may have taken the 29-point halftime deficit and said, might be time to get some rest.
Well, anyway, that is basketball. I will talk about basketball randomly. The only other sport I really will, and we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to talk about the pitchers for this weekend and next week, as we do.
As we do,
Eric,
all.
I mean, you also got to talk to Dustin May. You're going to save that stuff, I believe, for an article on NBC Sports and Mortimer.
Article coming out early next week over on NBC Sports. My hovering over Dustin May's locker and chatting with him very nicely for a few minutes. So that was great. So that'll come out. And then I know you don't love talking about offense, but I did talk to a couple of young Cardinals hitters, and that article is probably coming out tomorrow about their offense and how their offense is actually far more productive than we think. And that's relevant to our streaming question, because, you know, coming into the year, we were like, hey, White Sox, Cardinals, like, run some pitchers up against them. And not quite the case anymore. We have to recalibrate. Also, remember, just recalibrate for weather. I mentioned to you, obviously, I was at that game at Citi Field earlier today, 90 degrees, humid. The ball was jumping early on. Christian Scott and Hunter Dobbins both giving up tons and tons of home runs. So we're at that time of year now where you do need to actually pay attention to the weather in some of these locations and whether or not you're going to want to pitch pitchers in, you know, 90 degrees in humidity. And all
oh, my gosh. I mean, I kind of liked it. I'll be honest with you. I dug it when I pitched. I loved when it was super hot.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Sometimes it's just it's like everything feels stretched out a little bit more, you know.
You feel a little looser.
Yeah, it felt better. Great.
It's better than the March days in New York where you're playing in like 30 degree weather. Never felt.
Yeah. Good. Oh gosh. Exactly. Yeah. Right. Anyway, so we've got.
We're starting with
the Orioles first. But you know what, Eric? I have an idea.
Yeah.
This podcast, we're going to start with the NL first.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, because we always speed through.
Yes, that's
and
true.
And they deserve better.
That's true. But we're going to still start in the East. It's just easier that way for me. So we're going to go NL East. We're going with the Braves. Three against the Mets this weekend. Three against the Giants next week. And three against the Brewers. It's a two-start week for Chris Sale, which you're obviously using. Spencer Strider, listen, it's Mets and Giants, and you're going to pitch him. I got a lot of questions with James Schiano in our Q&A about, like, tough 12-team league decisions. And Spencer Strider, for me, is a guy where, like, he's fine, but I don't think he's somebody you must hold on to if there's some really intriguing guys on the waiver wire. And Bryce Elder, listen, it's a good start against the Mets this weekend. I'm less inclined against the Brewers next week.
Yeah, it's Spencer Strider, I think, is not throwing the velocity that we want to see. He was under 95 in his last start, and it's just, guys, he's not old Spencer Strider. Mm-hmm. Does he have the whole pitch mix to be able to do more than that? I don't really think so. But against the Mets and against the Giants, I mean, you got to do that. Martin Perez, I have as a do not start against the Giants, even though, let's be honest, in a 15 team, you might be inclined to do it.
Sure. The Giants, we should just know the Giants have been really hot of late. Sample size, but they have been.
Okay.
And so, you know, you've got Strider for me is like, I think you're still going to start him, but it's a little nerve wracking. There's a lot of lefty power bats in that lineup, and that lineup is heating up a little bit. And so who knows?
It's possible, but I mean, obviously they've been one of the worst, if not the worst offenses for the entire season.
Yes.
So we'll see there. And for everybody else, I mean, sure. Elder looks like he's back on the horse. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
We should also just note that MLB.com's Braves reporter Grant McCauley posited that the recent call-up of J.R. Ritchie could mean the team is thinking about moving Grant Holmes to the bullpen. And so that's something to keep in mind because J.R. Ritchie is up and there doesn't seem to be a rotation spot. So that's right. just something we should be monitoring over the next few days to see what they're actually doing in that.
Definitely. Game. Yeah.
Moving on to the Marlins, they get three at Pittsburgh this weekend, three at Philadelphia next week, three against the Giants. It's two-start week for Ryan Gusto, but it starts with at Philadelphia, so I'm not going to go for that. But I wanted to ask you if you had a chance to digest Tyler Phillips' start today against the Diamondbacks and what you think about Tyler Phillips going forward.
Yeah, so I have not gotten a chance to do it yet, but look at this. Five innings, zero runs, two hits, two walks, and five strikeouts for Tyler Phillips. I remember after his last game, I was like, this isn't really the interesting thing that I thought it would be, and I was generally out. And I'm looking at this one, and I'm seeing, okay, he got some sweepers away. He had a 75% strike rate on that, high put-away rate on that pitch. So that resulted in a pair of strikeouts on those sweepers. But it's not enough in my view. I mean, I'm not really seeing anything that stands out massively. Like this four seamer, it kind of looks like it's empty velocity at 96 miles per hour, 15 inches of vert. It does have a somewhat low arm angle, but it's not enough for me to really get interested in that. And then the splitter had a 30% strike rate. What do you know? You can't trust him, Eric. You just can't at all.
Can't.
Also, it's a little bit of a shotgun blast, and the fact that he only threw 70 pitches, the Marlins are starting to stretch him out more, but I'm not really buying into this start. What about you?
No, I'm same thing as you. Like, I'm intrigued, and maybe I'm a little bit more intrigued after this start than I was the last start, but not enough that I would be picking him up. Obviously, like in an NL-only format or something like that, it's a very different story. But this doesn't like really excite me too much.
Yeah.
And the rest of the guys, like, listen, Sandy Alcantara, you know, Pittsburgh, sure. Philadelphia, like, if you're in a shallow league, I don't know that you need to start him. And you moved on from him in some shallow leagues too. So I don't think this is like a guy you have to be holding on to if you're in a 10 team league and some 12 teams, depending on your roster build.
Yeah, exactly. So look, we want to, you know, we want it all to work out, honestly. And I would mention at least that, like, you know, if you're in a quality start league, then okay, you call Kantar can make that work. But Gusto's kind of interesting, Eric.
Sure. I don't my comment about the two start week is I just don't love him at Philadelphia. And I don't know if him against the Giants is such a good start that I want to take the Philadelphia.
Well, I agree with you on that. I just wanted to bring up the point because I know some people are missing the old format of the OTC and where we actually get to talk about a certain guy. Sure. And Ryan Gusto, I feel, is someone at least to be aware of because he does have a very wide arsenal that kind of, it's not as good as Griffin Jacks, but it reminds me a little bit of it at times, just with the variety of it around the pitch movement plots. Doesn't have the worst velocity, does have good vert on the four seamer. That was always the exciting thing in Houston, but he does have an over-the-top arm angle. However, that sweeper is really nice, and I would just pay attention to that one and possibly be in for a single-game stream against the Giants for Ryan Gusto.
Yep, I like that. We had talked before when he got called up that there were some Marlins writers talking about the new slider he was throwing and that it was missing a lot of bats in the minors. And so something to keep an eye on for sure.
Absolutely.
Moving on to the Mets, they get three against the Braves at home this weekend. Next week, it's three at Cincinnati, three at Philadelphia. It's two-start week for David Peterson, but it's at Cincinnati, at Philadelphia. So I cannot recommend that to you, even though it's two-start week. Christian Scott, pretty mediocre outing against the Cardinals. I will say most of the damage against him was done in the first two innings, and then he bounced back to a certain extent. But we've chatted about Christian Scott against lefties, and Alec Burleson took him deep. Lars Nootbaar took him deep. And I know that, you know, I mentioned the humidity and the ball was flying, but that is a concern for Christian Scott. And now he's going into Cincinnati next week. And so are you still in on this, or are we pausing the Christian Scott hype?
I think that if you have Christian Scott for your on your roster for the year, you'll be happy, right? Yes, I'm a little concerned about this singular start. I have him as a questionable. I do see a generally productive 12-team arm, right? Mm-hmm. And I imagine this time next year, or at least in draft season next year, Christian Scott will be someone that a lot of people will be talking about. Maybe he'll be drafting the 240s or 270s or so, and he could just be a reliable every 5-day guy. He's still figuring out how to utilize the cutter and the sweeper effectively, but I just think he's solid, right? And he will only get better, I think, in time. So sure, I'm not necessarily in on that start, but I don't think it's worthwhile for me to move on from him if I have Christian Scott.
Do you have any Freddy Peralta concerns at all? It just hasn't been.
Well, I thought you were going to say, do I have any of him on my teams? I said no, but I do a little bit. I mean, he's throwing a little bit softer at the moment. It was a little, I think the weather was a little bit odd last start, but he's Professor Chaos. He's right-handed Robbie Ray. And I didn't mean now Robbie Ray. I meant like old Robbie Ray.
Right.
And it's what you sign up for. You know, he's always been this guy that, just like Framber Valdez, a lot of these are known cherry bombs and they will oscillate throughout the year. Mm-hmm. I mean, just even thinking of Jose Soriano, we saw that first month of the year that was so good.
Yeah.
And then it's fallen back to earth a little bit now, right? And we have a smaller sample at this point. So it's like 2.5 months or so that doesn't represent all 6 months. And it's harder to really get a macro view of it, right? So I feel like he'll be fine. Is he going to be that stud? No, probably not. Yeah. You might not remember. Maybe he was 21. Maybe it was 22. It was during one of the Blake Snell ridiculousness seasons. Maybe that was 23. My gosh, it is 26 now. That Freddy Peralta had just as good of a second half.
Yeah. I remember.
No one cared about Blake Snell, but it was.
I think it was 23 actually.
Okay, that sounds right now. Yeah. So that's in the cards, right? That's in his. It's in his deck, and hopefully it gets dealt this year.
I like that. I like that turn of phrase. Moving on to the Phillies. They get 3 at Milwaukee this weekend, 3 against Miami next week, and 3 against the Mets to start week for Zach Wheeler. You don't need us to tell you to start him. The Phillies rotation feels pretty simple. It's like Christopher Sanchez, Zach Wheeler, Jesus Azardo, you're starting in almost every matchup. Andrew Painter, you're starting in basically none of them. And so the question is Aaron Nola. It's at Milwaukee and then versus the Mets. Where are you at on Aaron Nola?
Don't want to.
Okay.
His velocity was down again. It was 93, 94. Yep. And then it fell back down to 92. And it's just, you know what? I'm trying as hard as I can. You can't come back from 29 points if you constantly miss your threes. Okay. So you just got to keep hitting him. And Aaron Nola, you know, isn't hitting them.
Yeah. I do. Gotta love some basketball metaphors in there. Last NL East team, it is the Nationals. It's 3 against Seattle this weekend, 3 against Kansas City next week, 3 at Tampa Bay. It's a 2-start week for Andrew Alvarez, and the matchups are decent. It's the Royals and the Rays. Are you at all interested in Andrew Alvarez if you're like in a 15-team format and you've got those two starts? I know Eno on a recent Rates and Barrels podcast mentioned that he thought that Alvarez had some intriguing elements to his game.
Oh, he has interesting breaking balls.
Okay.
His fastballs are just not passable. And it's a old Guardians pitcher who doesn't have enough to make that work. That's the easiest way I can summarize it. He went against the Giants and didn't impress me much. Like Shania Twain, of course.
I was going to say, just start singing it.
I know. Okay. I know. And yeah, I just wouldn't go after Alvarez right now. I could see it happening.
Sure.
But I don't see a reason to chase it now.
What about Zach Littell? He's on a little bit of a heater right now. And, you know,
please. He's dancing the disco again. I know. He's throwing those sliders into the strike zone every so often. It's just, oh gosh, no.
Okay.
Just don't do this. It's just pain.
Don't do it. It's Seattle, Kansas City for Littell. Seattle this weekend, Kansas City next week. So, yeah, I get that. Caglione heating up for the Royals, so their offense is turning the corner a little bit. Moving to the NL Central, we've got the Cubs. 3 at the Giants next week, 3 home against the Rockies, and 3 home against the Blue Jays. It's 2-start week for Shota Imanaga, home Rockies, and the Blue Jays. So we cross our fingers, it all works out there. We got Edward Cabrera throwing today in Colorado, and then he gets Colorado at home next week. So you were really just kind of hoping that today was not a blow up outing, because you wanted to, you know, go into next week feeling okay. And he's been okay, like, you know, so far four innings for 4 1/3, two runs, five strikeouts, one walk. Both runs are on home runs. What are you shaking your head about?
I just noticed that Zebby Matthews allowed seven runs today.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. Yeah.
he was totally a different guy. No, he wasn't.
But Edward Cabrera, any you different. Feel okay about next week? Edward Cabrera home against the Rockies?
I don't. Okay, look, so Rocky Road only works if the home park is better.
Sure.
And Wrigley is not a fun place to pitch right now. It just really isn't. I mean, here's Edward Cabrera allowing two home runs against Rocky Road, right? In Wrigley. In Coors. And then he'll be in Wrigley next. But I don't, he's such a hipster. And I've just found that I live a happier life when I remove all of them from my team.
Yeah, I have Edward Cabrera in a few places, and I'd be happier if I wasn't dealing with the ups and the downs. Move on to the Reds. They get three at home against Arizona this weekend, home against the Mets next week, three at the Yankees. Two-start week for Chase Burns, which we feel pretty good about. Nick Lodolo starting against the Mets, we like. But Brady Singer, Rhett Lauer, are you interested in rostering either of those guys? And Andrew Abbott against the Yankees next week, does that make you a little nervous? There's no Aaron Judge?
Yeah, it still makes me nervous. It's a very good team. And Rhett Lauder, I think in time, could be of interest. But right now, no, we don't do that. So Nick Lodolo is really the only one that I feel okay with overall here.
Aside from Chase Burns.
And Chase Burns. I'm so sorry. Yes, I just saw the green just disappeared. Okay. And then Andrew Abbott, I would be okay with this weekend, just not next week.
Okay, I get that. Yeah, Andrew Abbott is just, he's pitching better right now, and I like using him, but I same thing.
And just in matchups. We don't know why.
Right.
Exactly. It's back to classic Andrew Abbott.
It is. Another situation I'd rather avoid on most of my rosters. The Brewers get three against the Phillies this weekend, three against Cleveland next week, three at Atlanta. That's two-start week for Robert Gasser, but it's Cleveland and at the Braves. Are you at all interested in Robert Gasser? Also, Logan Henderson is working his way back, so at some point he's going to push for that spot. I just don't think it's going to be next week.
Yeah, for Robert Gasser in a two-step, I would say no. Okay. Just because you have Hotlanta at the end there, and I would want to see what it's like against the Guardians. He had to endure Vegas, I believe. So I'm just like, I don't know what to make of that one. And my heart says it actually is interesting.
Okay.
Against the Guardians, but I just can't risk it because I just don't really have any sort of data I can really point at right now.
Yeah.
And Shane Drouhan is kind of interesting.
Yes.
I would look into that against the Phillies this weekend. I don't want to do it against Atlanta.
I wrote about Shane Drouhan on my streaming starting pitchers article on Monday. I am also interested in him. I added him in a few places for this weekend. Hopefully it goes well enough that maybe worst case scenario, you bench him against Atlanta. Gasser, last year at least, was sinker sweeper heavy from the left side.
Right.
The Guardians are going to platoon like heck against him, so it's going to be a lot of righties. But, you know, he can command that sweeper when it's on. And so I wrote him up in enough places as a late round pick that I am intrigued by Robert Gasser.
Well, I don't think he's just that anymore.
He's not. No, he's not just that. Those are his primary offers.
Sure. So against righties in the very small sample we've seen thus far, he's also had 18% cutters, 17% four seamers, and 14% changeups. All returning strikes. And again, the small sample that we've seen of under 50 pitches of each of those. But something to think about. Maybe it does work. I don't know. He's got decent extension around 7 feet. So that's cool.
Yep. The Pirates, they have three against Miami this weekend, three at the Athletics next week. That's going to be in Sacramento, not in Las Vegas, but it's still, you know, not a great pitching environment. And then three at Colorado. So two not great pitching environments for the Pirates. It's two-start week for Jared Jones. Are you in enough on Jared Jones that in a two-start week in Sacramento and in Coors, you are still keeping him in your lineups?
I just want to know, this is maybe the first time I'm happy they are playing in Sacramento.
Because Vegas was a mess?
Oh, my God. That was an atrocity.
Yeah.
Why do they? Okay. Jared Jones against the Athletics in Sacre Verde and in Coors, I'm starting.
Okay.
I think his stuff is just that good. He even against the Dodgers, sure, could have been 300 runs because of Otani's home run being snatched back, whatever. But it was still fine. It was still okay. Four innings, two earned runs, I believe it was four base runners and three or four Ks or five Ks or something like that. Great. Cool. Awesome. I think that Jaron Jones is also going to get stretched out more with every start. There's only about 75 pitches against the Dodgers. So, I'm doing this because I'm not going to drop Jared Jones. And I think you're going to get something to salvage out of these, right? It's not always about, okay, what's his earned run total going to be? What's his whip going to be? What's his strikeout rate going to be? Is there a chance for a win in here? And Jared Jones, yeah, I think he provides enough for me to go for those. The tough one is Bubba Chandler against Miami.
Yes.
I don't know, man. I don't want to do it, but I got rid of the Sipster about a month ago.
In a redraft format, I'm more than happy to move on from Bubba Chandler. We've chatted about this before. It's just like the execution is not there, and I don't know. It might happen, but I have no idea when it will click for him, and it makes it tough to roster him.
Yep.
Moving on to the Cardinals. They get three at Minnesota this weekend, three against San Diego next week, and three with a weird Saturday off day at Kansas City. Interesting that the matchup doesn't suggest that it's a two start. We has them with a 6-man rotation next week. It'd be interesting because it figures to be a two start week for Dustin May against the Padres and the Royals. If there is a starting pitcher removed from the rotation. So I think that's going to happen. I think it's a two start week for Dustin May. We chatted before about Dustin May. He's looked really good since, leaning into the cutter a lot more after some early season struggles. I don't think that this is like, oh my God, Dustin May is going to win you your league. But I think that his locations are a little more locked in right now. He thinks that as well. I think the cutter usage has been important for him because it mitigates hard contact versus lefties. And then he's throwing the four-seamer above it against righties for more swing and miss. So I'm in on that. Andre Pianti had a good start against the Mets.
Yeah,
he did. And he goes against the Padres next week, and I don't think you need to avoid that matchup.
So do you want to know why there isn't a game that Saturday?
Is it a World Cup thing?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And I was like, really? It's in Kansas City.
Yeah.
But there you go. I just had to figure that out. I was like, all right.
That was my guess, but yeah.
Wow, that's just so strange that they'd be like, yeah, sure, let's just have a series here in Kansas City this weekend. Anyway, I'm sorry. Dustin May, I'm a fan of. I led with him this week. Now, if I may, I wanted to do initially, it's got to be May, but I feel like that's just been so overdone that I had to shift.
Yeah.
And with Andre Pallante, it's interesting. There were two things I really wanted Pallante to do. One is something he's already been doing, which is 88 to 89 mile per hour sliders. So I was like, hey, this is really cool. Now you got to get your four seamer inside the lefties. And guess what, Eric? That's what he did against the Mets. But then he stopped throwing 88, 89 mile per hour sliders. It was 86, 87. But Nick, it was a good outing. Yes, that's true. Save for that horrific slider that was right down the middle to Alvarez, who just destroyed that pitch. But it is cool to see him actually locate those fastballs. I don't think he will every time. Also, the Padres are much better against right-handers than they are left-handers. So this is a sit for me from Andre Pallante. I'm going to take note, though, if he keeps throwing that four-seamer inside of lefties, then maybe we can add him to the menu.
And in deeper formats, I am still interested enough in Hunter Dobbins as an idea, not as a pickup right now. The start against the Mets wasn't great. We did talk about the weather. But I think that Hunter Dobbins has a deep enough pitch mix that I could see him settling into the rotation spot and being a totally serviceable deep league streamer, but that is not for right now. I just wanted to put that name on people's radars now that he is in the rotation.
Do you have a book prepared with a sock in it for him?
No.
No, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Do not.
For that time. That was a face that Eric made. He's like, what on earth is this reference? It's Harry Potter, everyone.
Yeah.
It was a Harry Potter reference.
It was Dobby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got it. I had to piece it together, but I got there.
You got there. I'm proud of you.
We're going to move on to the NL West, but we're going to do that after this break. NL West, we've got the Diamondbacks. They got three at Cincinnati this weekend, three against the Angels next week, and three against the Twins. That's two start week for Ryan Nelson against the Angels and the Twins. And I don't care that he made me crazy enough yesterday that I texted Nick. I'm going to start him in that two start week.
You're like, first Ryan Nelson, now the Knicks.
Well, it was in the middle of
29 points. I know
it was in the middle of this 29 point deficit, and I looked up, and Ryan Reynolds is also getting hit for homers against the Marlins, and I was like, "What is happening?"
That's my line. So Ryan Nelson, I led with him. I didn't lead with him. I did a massive blurb though. I did like a focus on him in the roundup, and there are a few things to say. First and foremost, strikeouts have not been in there at all. It's been like three strikeouts for four straight games, and then two yesterday. And I'm seeing worse movement on the slider in the last three, while just general not the best command of his four-seamer, where it's up and it's still okay. It's just not the greatest thing. And he's had such a good schedule that I've kind of had blinders on, right? And he then took down the Dodgers. It wasn't the greatest thing ever, but it was serviceable. So I thought, of course, what the heck? It's the Marlins. And then, right, he's not doing Ryan Nelson things. Mm-hmm. It's the Angels though, but it was the Marlins.
Right.
If it's a two-step, okay, you take the chance.
The Twins, and the Twins can get guys for some home runs.
You might get six strikeouts total.
Yeah.
That's, oh gosh. He shouldn't though. He really shouldn't. It just drives me up the wall. So I don't know. Otherwise, I mean, you can't touch Gallen. You can't touch Eduardo Rodriguez in Reds, and then and then you can against the Angels maybe. But Gallen, you're gonna stop me on Gallen right now?
No, it was Eduardo Rodriguez. I was gonna say
good.
The Angels next week.
Who's gonna trade for Zach Gallen?
Nobody.
So I mean, Blue Jays might. Blue Jays is the answer. Yeah,
the Blue Jays. Yeah, I could see that. I'm like looking at some of these other teams. I don't really know. the Astros, maybe.
Mm.
I mean, they're getting
we'll see. But that's it for the Diamondbacks. The Colorado Rockies, please don't. And by the way, the Cubs are doing so badly that Mike Lorenzen just had a great start last night in Coors against them. And that's where we're at the moment. But Dodgers.
And the Rockies get the Cubs next week, too, but still don't do it.
In regularly, but yeah, right.
The Dodgers have three against the White Sox this weekend, three against Tampa Bay next week, three against Baltimore. Where are you at now on the Eric Lauer experience for the Dodgers?
He finally got whiffs on his four-seamer, Eric. Oh, my gosh. I mean, look, if you want to against the Rays, by all means, but no.
And you have moved Roky Sasaki into probable start, both for the White Sox and against Baltimore next week.
Would you not?
I would. I'm just saying.
Yeah, what are we talking about here, Eric? I'm just
noting the evolution.
Look, I'm not one to be blind to information and change. And that's certainly what Roky Sasaki has been doing. It's his best. The most whiffs he's earned have come lately. His bleak stump blueprint is in effect. Four seamers up and sliders down to right-handers. It's been a much better version of him. The question is just, will he be able to keep it up as he's done different things each start? And when I see that again, it's alarming, but it's just been good for four starts. So whatever, just keep going until it doesn't.
I've noted Emmett Sheehan as an interesting buy because his surface level stats are still pretty bad. I think it's like a 4.5 ERA or something like that.
Really?
Elevated ERA. And I think that Emmett Sheehan has been pitching better recently. Am I off base there?
Well, it is annoying to see, what was it, a 17 or 14 pitch at bat to Nick Madrigal end in a walk.
Sure,
and he got pulled in two innings because he threw, 37 pitches in that second inning.
Yeah.
And that's just how it goes. But even before that, it was three starts out of the last four, going only six and two earned runs. I mean, you're not off base. It's still just weird with him, though.
Mm-hmm.
He was down a tick and change. And it's... Actually, by the way, Eric, you might not have noticed. I made some changes to the lovely dashboard. And I want to do a quick announcement to everybody really quickly that We have hired a full-time developer here at PitcherList, Jeff Niveen, who's been with us since 2020. I could not be more excited to work so closely with Jeff. And we have essentially established that once we get the beta of the Pro Dashboard in everyone's hands with the foundation that we just really like, one of the first projects is going to be to bring this live pitch dashboard into it. And what I added for you, Eric, was inside the regular season game log. So that's on the player page and, of course, on their each game card. You now have filters of by pitch type and by you can review everything that's in the normal singular card. So I'm looking at it right now and I'm seeing, oh, 94.7, not 96 that we saw the previous start for Emmett Sheehan, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's just
not great. I do love that you added that. Thank you. Kudos. All that stuff. All right. That's not great. So, you know, maybe soft buy.
I mean, we'll see. Like, I feel like the last start was a bit of a waste, you know?
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah. But it's interesting. I hate the fact that I don't know. That's
where you want to get that guy off your team. That's your point. Yeah. You just don't. Yeah. I get that. I understand wanting a little bit more easy decisions. To me, there's kind of easy decisions with Padres. They get three at Baltimore this weekend, three at St. Louis next week, three at Texas. It's a two-start week for Lucas Giolito. But I can't see myself rostering any of these pitchers except for Michael King.
Yep. And even he, like, this was initially a really favorable one. But the last few starts for Michael King have been an atrocity.
Yeah.
And he's, I think his last four starts are a 13% strikeout rate from Michael King.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, he's a cross-body mechanics guy, right? He's on the right side. He's on the left side. And he steps to his right and then comes back over. We see this often where guys like that, Freddy Peralta, go in and out of rhythm. Mm-hmm. I just hope that he gets it back because it's going to get worse after this. He's going to have some two matchups. I believe it's the Dodgers and Atlanta after this. So get it together in this one, King, to make us feel okay about those.
It's 2026 and we have a rotation with Michael King, Walker Buehler, Lucas Giolito, and Griffin Canning. it's not for me.
Why are you going to leave Randy Vasquez out of this? I don't understand. Well,
but it wasn't like Randy Vasquez was really good 4 years ago or whatever. So, you know.
I know. Well, neither was Michael King 4 years ago, to be fair.
He was a great reliever. It was a great reliever.
Wonderful.
Moving on to the Giants. Three against the Cubs this weekend, three at Atlanta next week, three at Miami. It's two-start week for Adrian Hauser. You're not going to do that at the Braves at Miami. Where are you at on our boy Landon Rupp right now?
I mean, I think Landon Rupp is great.
Rupp. I always do Rupp. I don't know why.
I think of Rupp Text.
Yeah, I like that. Rupp.
Okay.
Got it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's Landon Rupp is a command guy. And even against the Cubs, I love that it's in Oracle Park and they are struggling. I feel like that's an easy win. While at Atlanta, okay, fine. That's you're gonna have to work there, but I think he can absolutely pull that off.
Yeah. And then listen, we'll see what happens with Tyler Mahle and Trevor McDonald. I don't think that should be a rotation change they make, but
I mean, Trevor McDonald hasn't really been showcasing any feel for the slider. But the real question is, Eric, what are you doing with Robbie Ray right now?
Not starting him against the Braves.
Sure. You know, he's going to have to go against them in three starts, too.
Yeah. I don't think that I think we've seen Robbie Ray have these bouts of inconsistency and then come back and have like a really good, strong stretch. So I would prefer to hold him, obviously, in 15-team leagues and in 12-team leagues if I could. In a 10-team league, like, I don't know that he's necessarily somebody where it's like, he's Robbie Ray. He has to be on my team. Like, in really shallow formats, I think there might be enough pitchers where I could say it's not going great and the upcoming schedule isn't as good as I want it to be. And so like I could move on, but I'd rather not.
So of his last five games, okay, before then, Robbie Ray had just one game with his slider underneath the 55% strike rate, and that was a 45%. In his last five starts, as a starting with a 9 earned run, just what just happened to my life start at Arizona on the 18th of May, including that one, Robbie Ray's strike rates on his slider have been 38%, 40%, 68%, 43%, and 36%. And remember, never underneath 45 before that five-star stretch. This is such a clear problem that he's in. And also, the fastball is bad, say for the last one, he finally got over 70%. So yeah, at least there's some growth. The changeup has been there a bit for him. So it's really, the question is, okay, slider, will Robbie Ray have his slider back?
Right.
And what do you think the answer to that is, Eric?
Will he? I think he will. I think he will eventually, if that's right, the question. But yeah, but I can't tell you when, and that's the issue. Yeah. That's why, like, in a shallow league, I could see moving on, because I think we have a long enough track record of Robbie Ray having a good slider that he will figure out whatever is wrong with the feel of the slider and go back to commanding it, at least in a average way.
So,
but I don't know when that will be.
This is what I would do. If I don't have Robbie Ray and he's on someone's team, after he doesn't do well against Atlanta, just throw something their way. You know, just throw him an Eric Lauer.
Edward Cabrera.
Edward Cabrera. See what happens.
It's not a terrible strategy. Moving on to the AL now, the AL East. The Orioles get three against the Padres this weekend, three at Seattle, three at the Dodgers next week. It's two-start week for Brandon Young, who's coming off a really good start. At Seattle, not terrible, but also at the Dodgers. So then I'm just curious, twofold. Were you at all intrigued by Brandon Young's good start recently? And are you tempted by this two-start week at all?
I feel like I've just been kind of on Brandon Young. It's not really that exciting. He doesn't really have a big money pitch. It's a lot of four-seamers upstairs that he tries to make work, and it can be good, but it's all eh. So I don't want to go after this if I have to endure the Dodgers.
I get that. Yeah, I get that. I can't see myself buying in on this right now. I did. Buy in is maybe not the strongest term. I did. I did take some low cost gambles on Trevor Rogers. And it seemed like he may have been turning a corner. The last start was still like fine, but not really great. Gets the Padres on Sunday, though, an offense that really struggles against lefties.
Yeah.
Where are you at on Trevor Rogers, and where are you at with that start?
He's a questionable.
Okay.
And it's really a sniff snap of like, oh, you look really bad. Oh, hey, here you go. Four seamers are up, changeups are down, sweepers are intersecting. And oh, cool. And now next one, you have everything in the middle again. And it's, I mean, at some point, if it quacks like a duck, it better be a horse. You know, it's just
not a saying.
Yeah. I know it's not the saying.
Yeah.
I know it's not the saying, but why can't it be the saying, Eric?
Because I don't know what it means. That's why. I don't know what you're saying.
Well, it's a saying that people are translating it wrong. It quacks like a duck. Well, it better be a horse.
Yeah.
That's the idea, Eric.
That's how we feel about Trevor Rogers, everybody.
We're treating him like a horse and he quacks like a duck.
I will say, like, if the start against the Padres is good, I could see myself holding for the start against the Dodgers, not starting him, but holding, because he gets the Angels the week after.
But the thing is, you don't even know if it's going to be good against the Angels. And that's 10 days you're holding on to this guy?
I might. I mean, it depends how he looks on Sunday, but I can see it.
But even if he looks good then.
Yeah.
He has to look like best start of the year good. Because if it's like, okay, six innings, 200 runs, like 5 Ks, like 8 base runners.
I guess it depends. It depends. Like, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I'll go back and look. I think it was in our TGFBI league. And in 15-team leagues, like, there's just not a lot out there.
Okay, so if you're saying in the 15 that maybe you would hold for the week because then it's also TGFBI where you're investing the whole week and you can just bench them. Team streamer, as Bora would say.
Sure.
12-teamer, though. You're not doing that.
I don't think I can do that, a 12-teamer.
Cool.
Yeah. Moving on to the Red Sox, they get three against the Rangers this weekend, three against Toronto next week, three at Seattle. So it's two-start week for Peyton Tolley, which is against Toronto and at Seattle. We love to see that. I got to tell you, I was doing my write-up for Sunday Night Baseball. Red Sox, Rangers on Sunday Night Baseball. Connelly Early will start in that game. And I was just like, I'm a little concerned about his pitch mix versus righties and his ability to get strikeouts because his best swinging strike pitch to righties is his four-seam fastball, but he doesn't have another pitch that he can consistently command in the zone so that he can pitch backwards successfully against righties yeah. and say, hey, I'm going to throw other stuff first, and then I'm going to elevate the four-seam fastball for swinging strikes. And so now I'm looking at like, oh, so now his like incessant nibbling makes so much more sense to me because there's not a real whiff pitch to righties, not a real swing and miss pitch to righties. The changeup is a good pitch, but it's not like a two strike pitch that he's going to use. And so yeah. I still like Connelly early. I think that he's talented, but I maybe am not so sold on his ultimate upside as I was before.
Oh, Eric, how dare you? How dare you just suggest that the ultimate upside is just gone from existence for Connelly early? Look, it really is just a case of, I think that over time his changeup gets better. I think that we start seeing a little bit more of that cutter inside to right-handers. I think the curveball that he only threw two times, he's going to throw a little bit more over time. It's a case where you have a wide enough arsenal that it helps every little bit here, right? Mm-hmm. And it's only been two games all year that he's gone above 300 runs thus far. I take this as, look, you are developing. We generally see some turmoil. And I always think of it in terms of, all right, entering draft season next year, how are people going to treat this guy?
Sure.
Right? And they're going to treat him like, oh, yeah, this is a guy who just had his first year, you know, 23% K rate, 330 ERA, 123 whip. And now I think that he's going to take that step forward. You know, it's the walks were earlier in the season necessarily. And even though it was a 4-walk game last game, trust me, I'm aware, guys. And when I think of it that way, it makes me get a good perspective for the younger pitchers because we are expecting them to develop and improve. And when you have a wide arsenal like Connelly early, I generally see that more often than I do a guy that has like two pitches. So I'm still in on this, especially against the Rangers and then going into Seattle. Is he going to be like an SP2 for your teams? Maybe not. I've considered him like a very, very good Holly, like around SP30 for the year for me. It's just generally what's been in my head for him. And it was just a very high floor. And that's kind of what we got in so far. So I'm still very much in.
Sure. I this is exactly the reason why I have an article that I'm drafting, so I don't have a takeaway right now. But it was a question I was asking myself, and I thought I'll do an article on why did we hit on Cam Schlittler and Jacob Mizorowski and miss on Yuri Perez and to some extent Nolan McClain, right? We had these young upstart pitchers coming into this year, and some have done really well. And some, like Edward Cabrera, like Bubba Chandler, like Yuri Perez, have not done well. And so I'm trying to separate out if there were any indicators. And I think command is probably a big one, but, you know, we'll dive into that more in the article. But, like, any indicators. So when we look at next year and we look at Peyton Tolley or look at Connelly Early or look at, you know, Kyle Harrison or look at, I'm trying to think of, like, guys who are kind of popping this year for the first time and we're like, oh, they'll take another step next year. Okay, which of those guys is more likely to take a step? Right. And what are they doing this year? And so I'd be curious to see Early's command and if that might impact.
You know what's very interesting? I think of like a lot of the pitchers from last year we got hyped about for the Hype 7, right? Chase Burns, Nolan McClain, Cam Schlittler, Jacob Mizorowski. I mean, I'll even throw like Connelly Early in there and Peyton Savage. You Savage, right? Cade Horton, but Cade Horton's a little different.
And he's
all of those guys, maybe Mizorowski was up by now, but all of them were like second half.
Yeah.
Right. And I lose sight of that sometimes because you have to be ready for that. You know, there's this idea that if you don't have your rotation in June, you're not going to get any sort of benefit.
Yeah.
Right. And the moving forward in the waiver wire. I'm like, no, that is not the case. So it's just something that keeps going on in my head about that. And we're trying to find for next year who those guys are. And I don't know. I mean, look, watch Griffin Jacks. Well, there you go. Right.
It would be like a, you know, and we'll get to him soon, but it would be like a guy like Gage Jump or somebody,
or
like
Connor Prelip, or yeah, we'll see. Well, I mean, Troy Melton isn't really getting, he didn't get much last year, so he could be kind of involved in that Emerson Hancock-ish.
Sure.
But I, that's a fun conversation for the end of the year that we'll see for you guys.
The Yankees seem like an easy conversation. It's three against at Toronto this weekend, three against the White Sox, three against the Reds next week, two-start week for Gerrit Cole. But I think you're just starting everybody in the Yankees rotation right now because they're pitching well.
I mean, that's a general safe move when Luis Gil is out of it.
Sure.
As Cashew has come back, if you see me run away, it's because I've opened the door. She scratches incessantly. Ryan Weathers, I understand, has allowed some more home runs lately, and that could be a fearful thing for many. But no, home runs come and go. He had one four home run game and then like nothing outside the last three.
Yeah.
So don't do that too much. And remember when some were worried about Cam Schlittler and his velocity in one game.
Yeah.
And it's just, guys, don't do that. Don't be afraid after one game of just maybe a little bit less velocity. Okay.
Don't be afraid. Moving on to Tampa Bay, three at the Angels this weekend, three at the Dodgers next week, three against the Nationals. It's a two-start week for Nick Martinez, but it's Dodgers and Nationals. And so I'm not really all that into it. Griffin Jacks, his roster rates keep falling on Yahoo. He gets the Angels and then he gets Washington next week. I am still in on Griffin Jacks.
Let's go.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Ian Seymour potentially in the rotation? I feel like I've been waiting for this forever.
Oh, you have. You really have. You may have seen my roundup. Seymour Skimmer.
I did see that.
I was really happy coming up with that one.
Yeah.
And so I hope they do. Now, the Angels this week I have as a do not start on Sunday. Why? Because I don't know how long he's going to go, right? This is still a process for us to figure out if the Rays are serious on Ian Seymour or not. Maybe Mason Engler will get some more time. Who knows? They also, my understanding is internally, all their models hated Ian Seymour. So they didn't really want to give him an opportunity in the first place. But if he does well enough against the Angels, and honestly, I have him as a questionable start next weekend, that Ian Seymour will go long enough in this game against the Angels that we'll be okay with it against the Nationals. Now, I think the more interesting conversation is that Nick Martinez one, because he did bounce back. And it's been a season-long Vargas, we'll say, for one game in Fenway, which is also like Davis Martin. We'll talk about him in a moment, but he went against the Twins, got beat up, and we had Atlanta, and I was like, okay, I'm out, but I shouldn't have, because he just went six shutout with six Ks and a one whip against Atlanta, which is incredible. And there's a part of me that feels like we got to give him the mulligan, Eric.
Sure. I don't love the Dodgers start.
No, like, I don't either.
Like, so that's what, in a two-start week, that's what makes me concerned, is I have to, and the Nationals offense, we know the Nationals offense is a pretty good offense now. So it's not like I'm getting one layup start and the Dodgers. I'm getting a Dodgers start and a start by a team that could also put up five runs against them.
So two things. The Nationals are better against lefties, believe it or not.
Yes.
And Nick Martinez does well against lefties because his best pitch is a changeup.
Okay.
I am as a questionable. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But I there's a part of me that says, like, you know what? Maybe it works out, guys. Don't be so afraid.
Don't be so afraid. Don't be so afraid of the Toronto. Well, actually, you could be pretty afraid of the Toronto Blue Jays. three against the Yankees this weekend, three at Boston next week, three at the Cubs. Two start week next week for Dylan Cease, who looked really good in his return to the rotation. Max Scherzer did not look as good in his return to the rotation. And I know the Boston offense is not great, but I did not see enough from Max Scherzer to start him next week in Boston. And so I think for me, this is Cease, Gausman, and Yesavage are still relatively interesting to me. Scherzer and Patrick Corbin are not.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason I would be okay against the Yankees is because I do wonder if Yesavage will just show up because it's the Yankees. Like, that's just what he's done. Mm-hmm. He is also a hipster. I'm just like, I don't want to do this. And what is interesting is I remember in the offseason, I was going back and forth about you, Savage. Like on some cases, I'm like, I don't like the command so much, and his fastball's a little bit hittable. But then he looked really good in the playoffs, and like that was a larger sample than the regular season. And he's got, he has the steepest splitter in baseball. That is, from release into where it lands, there's no splitter that's steeper. I mean, that's awesome. And then I realized, what on earth is going on? Why doesn't he throw low four seamers?
Sure.
This is like the perfect, perfect guy to throw low four seamers and splitters underneath it. Like, you just will not be able to tell. It's kind of actually reminds me of the death ball, the true one, not Jordan Montgomery's, Jeff Passan. I will hold that against you forever. It's Zach Gallen's. Zach Gallen has the death ball.
Right. And Zach Gallen always has the low four-seam fastball.
And there you go. Exactly. So I wonder if Savage could ever do that. But then again, I would suggest that Savage could command it consistently and do that. Right. So I don't know. I don't know what we see in time with him, but I would be shopping him around if I had him.
Interesting. Put him on the shopping list. Send him out there. We're going to talk about some other people you may want to be putting on the shopping list, but we're going to do that after this break. Moving on to the AL Central, we've got the White Sox, 3 against the Dodgers this weekend, 3 at the Yankees next week, and then 3 at the Detroit Tigers. Ugh. It's two-start week for Davis Martin at the Yankees, at the Tigers. I think you got to do it because Davis Martin continues to pitch pretty well, and I don't love the Yankees start, but I'd rather do that than the Nick Martinez two-step.
When did Joe Rock become a White Sox?
He was traded 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Why?
Joe Rock was a really interesting pitching prospect for the
Rays. Yeah.
But he was somewhere else beforehand too.
It was the Rockies.
Was it the Rockies?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
I'm looking this up right now.
The Rays, and I thought that the Rays had him, and I'm like, I actually saw this initially, and I didn't realize he was on the White Sox. I thought he was like, oh, the Rays are doing something silly.
Yeah, Joe Rock took David Sandlin's spot on the active roster. I'm trying to
find the transaction from the Rays. Anyway,
find the transaction.
This White Sox team is obviously on a heater, which is really cool. It's the Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Tigers, guys. That is rough. Yeah. Sean Burke has had some moments recently. That's really cool. You have the four-seamer upstairs. That's nice at times, but then he needs to have a secondary approach that really fits with it. You don't know what you're going to get from that curveball and that slider and that changeup. So I'm not in on that. Obviously, don't trust the feds. Anthony Kay, we had a nice little run with that, but that's not going to last. And now it's Atlanta today. We don't know how that's going to go, but it's against the Yankees after. We don't want to do that. And then Noah Schultz should come back on the Friday and like, oh my gosh, maybe Noah Schultz is okay again, but definitely don't take the chance there. And that's still ill. So there you go. Davis Martin, sure, why not? And Joe Rock, how did he get here?
He got here in a trade for Oliver Dunn on May 19th. Oliver Dunn is a utility and the Rays traded for him right when Ben Williamson got hurt.
What happened again that the White Sox are just upset against the Dunn family? Remember, was this the kid that was in the dugout with the clubhouse?
With Adam Dunn? I think it was Adam Dunn's kid. I think so. Yeah.
So is this Oliver Dunn? Is that who this is?
No, not it's not him. That'd be great though. It would be a great story.
Get out of here. Go to Tampa Bay. No, Joe Rock,
the Guardians.
They get to see what happens there. Yeah,
that's Guardians get 3 against Tigers this weekend, 3 at Milwaukee next week, 3 at Houston. It's two-star week for Slade Ciccone at Milwaukee, at Houston. I think you are out on that. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I know he's done well twice against the Yankees. What he did well in the first start was very much Aaron Savali-esque, where it was cutters and curveballs for like 60% of his pitches, which is like, whoa, all right. You can't do that a second time because the Yankees will be prepared for that. And yeah, he pulled back on the curveball and he still had some success. So I just don't like it enough. Maybe I should be more on the 89 mile per hour cutter, but I'm not part of the Slade Brigade. I can't do this.
And I know you're not really ever in on Tanner Bibee, and Jake Cantillo always makes you a little bit nervous. So it feels like you're kind of Parker Messick, yeah. Gavin Williams, yeah. And then the rest you'd prefer not to have to pick.
Okay, Usher, yeah. We can't trust Tanner Bibee going 8 shutout, guys. That was like the most lovely Koufax outing that you'll find. That is, Koufax blessed him with a lovely BABIP.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. It's hard to trust those guys. And Cantillo against a Houston team that is basically all righties could work with the changeup, but we've done this before.
Yeah, I know.
The Tigers are interesting. It's 3 at Cleveland this weekend, 3 at Houston next week, and 3 against the White Sox. It should set up to be a 2-start week for Troy Melton, who gets Houston on Monday. But as we were discussing before recording, Justin Verlander is also set to come back next week, potentially. If he does, then you've got Scooble coming back on Saturday, which is a conversation for another time. The fact that he's back in 5 weeks, wild, awesome, happy to see it. But you've got Scooble back, you've got Mize back, you've got Verlander back now. You've got Framber Valdez, and you've got Jack Flaherty. And so what are they going to do with Troy Melton? Because it might not be he might be bumped from the rotation. It's a little bit annoying.
I don't know if you just noticed what I was doing. But it's the three symbol that the Knicks do every time. Yeah. I don't know if Verlander is actually going to return. I feel like it's just been Verlander's on the verge of returning for like 2 months now. We'll see.
And the rehab outing wasn't all that good. So I get it, but it's just something to consider. Casey Mize, Guardians, White Sox.
If Casey Mize has his slider like he did before the first IL stint and then had it when he came back for the second one, that would be amazing because I love that version of Casey Mize. He's been chasing the slider for years and he's finally found it and just hasn't had enough of a runway. However, I don't know how guys look all the time coming back from the IL, so I play conservatively. I'm not going to go after this one or the next one. The White Sox are kind of great. Good. Yeah. I don't want to touch them. Even though the Murakami's out, it's insane.
I know they're on a heater for sure. I'm with you on avoiding those.
Hope, man.
The Royals, they get 3 against Houston this weekend, 3 at Washington next week, and then 3 against the Cardinals. It could be a 2-start week for Seth Lugo, but he just took a line drive to the back of the head, and so I'd be shocked if he didn't wind up on the IL. So that's a situation to monitor. Noah Cameron, Stephen Kolek this weekend against Houston. Are you in on both those guys?
I'm in on Cameron. It's listed as a questionable. It should not. That should be a probable. Because Noah Cameron's command has just been great. Mm-hmm. It's been fantastic. Kolek, I am interested in. I think he's displayed himself as a worthy Toby at this point.
Yeah.
And Michael Wacha today is going at the moment and isn't faring the best so far. But again, against the Washington Nationals, who I think the guy with a changeup should be good against. I think I'm going to roll out him on my rosters next week. And Chris Bubich will be back, hopefully.
And that could be the easy swap for Seth Lugo if they decide to put Lugo up there. Absolutely. Is having Bubich come back in. Not a start, again, first off the IL, but intrigued by Chris Bubich. Lastly, the Twins. They get 3 against the Cardinals this weekend, 3 at... 3 at Texas, another weird Wednesday day off that I bet is for a World Cup game. And then 3 at Arizona. It's a 2-start week for a gentleman named Mike Paredes.
It's a bullpen game.
Right. Yes.
It's a bullpen game.
It's a bullpen game. You're not adding anybody here. But I do want to ask you, have we turned the page on Zebby Matthews and Connor Prelip?
Okay. The book has been closed. All right, I see that on my shelf. I see it like a bestseller. I'm like, I know the reviews. Okay, I'm not going to get sucked into this one. I mean, look, I understand that there is still some strikeout upside with Zebby. There is a possibility that he can find his way through 6 because he does throw enough strikes. It's just there are often hittable strikes, like the 3 home runs he allowed today against the Tigers. So I am not going to go for this, even though it is in Arlington next week. Connor Prelip. Oh man, it's there and it's not. I truly do believe this guy is going to be a good starter for you. It's a moment where he showed up. He was supposed to be 4-seamer changeup actually, and the slider is all of a sudden the pitch that took over. It was amazing downing glove side, back foot to righties. So it's like, this is awesome. Just get the changeup. And as the old adage is, the new school leaves before the old school returns. old skill returns rather. So we lost the slider and now we're waiting for the changeup. So I hope it returns soon. It could easily against the Cardinals. It could against the Snakes, but I will see. I mean, right now I don't feel like I need to go for this.
We should just note also that yesterday on Wednesday, Mick Abel threw 47 pitches at AAA and looked pretty good. And so 47 pitches, maybe two more rehab starts is kind of what you're thinking. And that would probably be Zebby Matthews out, but could be Connor Prelip, but we'll see.
What about Mike Paredes?
Oh, Mike Paredes. Yeah, sorry. I forgot about Mike.
I'm Paredes. Sorry to rain on his Paredes, person. But that's going to be him.
Yeah. But you are nearing stash territory for Mick Abel again. I think he might be back in like 2 to 3 weeks.
The Mick Abel guy. Can't wait.
Moving on to the AL West. It's three against the A's. Sorry, have three against the Rockies this weekend, three against Pittsburgh next week, four against the Angels. Those are all in Sacramento. It's a two-start week for Jack Perkins. What's no?
Isn't it Vegas this weekend?
Next week is all Sacramento.
Oh, okay. So the Colorado Rocky three starts now are Vegas, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
But next week, the home games are all Sacramento.
Right.
So it's a two-start week for both Jack Perkins and Aaron Civale, but it's in Sacramento. I continue to think Jack Perkins is somebody that I will one day roster because the pitch mix is intriguing to me. I could see it working. I'm not ready to add him right now, but he's at least interesting to me.
Didn't we have a conversation last year?
Yes. Yeah. But he never really got a chance. I don't think he ever got a chance to start last year. I think he
did like once or twice and then got hurt.
I think you agree with me that like Gage Jump, you can't start him in Las Vegas. You can't start anybody in Las Vegas right now.
I know. I really like Gage Jump, but yeah, you can't. I have them both as questionables, and I probably should just say no for Gage Jump and JT Ginn. Can we talk about how Brandon Sproat just went one earned run in six innings? I know. Like, he's gone one earned run once in the last, like, 2 months?
Yeah.
And, like, when his back is against the wall? I don't understand. It's not impossible. But, yeah, it's probably unlikely that the Gage Jump does it. I just don't want you to drop them.
Because I think Gage Jump and JT Ginn are both more interesting against it's Jump against Pittsburgh next week and Ginn against LA or the Angels, but it's in Sacramento. And so I don't love it, but I like it more than the starts in Vegas. And I think those matchups are fine.
Because I probably shouldn't have them as do not start. I know. Yeah.
And you don't get O'Neill Cruz next week for Pittsburgh. And, you know, that's interesting. Or probably no Connor Griffin, too. So those are two important bats out of the lineup. Moving on to Houston, they get three against the Rockies this weekend, three against Detroit next week, three against Cleveland. As of right now, Fangraphs does not have a two-start week for anybody because they have them using a six-man rotation and keeping Kaiwei Tang in the rotation. But it could set up to be a two-start week for Hunter Brown, who's set to return Monday against the Tigers. Obviously, Hunter Brown, you know, looks good in the rehab starts. You're excited to get him back. Tatsuya Imai against Kansas City this weekend, against Cleveland next week. I still we've gone over this before. The zone rates are better. He's throwing more strikes, but he's still basically a two-star pitcher, and it's hard to fully trust him so right now.
A two-pitch pitcher, I assume.
Yes, two-pitch
pitcher. Right. And it's just weird. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's weird, you know?
Yeah.
Spencer Arrighetti actually did a really cool thing in his last start. He was throwing curveballs, and it wasn't working. He's normally been a four-seamer curveball guy, and he made the wise adaptation to go to sweepers instead, and he had a lot more success after that. And it makes me wonder, hey, Pasta the Pirate, you know, you can do some tortellini instead of just rotini the entire time, you know? So I add some little bit of cheese in there. And I think that he might be a little bit more varied in his arsenal after that. So yeah, I have him as a questionable at the moment because it's been kind of weird, but it could be higher than that by week when he gets to the Guardians.
The next two are at Kansas City, at Cleveland. We're going to speed through these last three teams because I need to get out of here. But we've got The Angels, three against Tampa Bay this weekend, three at Arizona next week, four at the Athletics. It's a two-start week for both Walbert Urania and Reed Detmers at Arizona, at Sacramento. Can you do it with either one of those guys?
Detmers is so weird. His slider is not great, but it was an 82% strike rate with a 48% CSW, but he threw like way in the zone. It wasn't back foot domination. It was so strange. I don't quite get it, but that's two really good starts. Now you got to do it against the Diamondbacks, which means sure, fine, we'll take the chance with Sacramento. And the same thing with Walbert Urania, who's kept his head above water. Even in the last start, he didn't have his changeup working, and he still made it somehow work with sweepers and fastballs. So fine, you do it. And Soriano, I feel like we just got to accept he's 2025 Soriano. Just like do that, and you'll be happy.
And are you still out on Grayson Rodriguez?
Yes.
Seattle, three at Washington this weekend, three against Baltimore next week, three against Boston. It's not a two-start week for anybody because they're using a six-man rotation right now. You have Logan Gilbert. Is that correct? Okay. I was going to say, you have Logan Gilbert as a
I don't know what you're talking about, Eric. Your eyes are deceiving you.
But are you still not in on Luis Castillo?
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
but the rest of the guys we're still bouncing back in on. I think, you know, everybody was out on Emerson Hancock, and I understand the strikeouts haven't been there, but I think, and you've pointed this out in your roundups too, that, you know, the sinker is a legitimate true sinker that he throws from a lower arm slot. And so because of his lower arm slot, I think Emerson Hancock could still wind up being a good ratio arm for you. Six innings, solid ratios, not a lot of strikeouts.
Now, I wish I had the data, but I'm guessing that his arm angle just kept lowering throughout the season because it was like a 15-inch vert during that game against the Guardians where you were texting me, and now it's like 8.75.
Yeah.
Like, you literally split it in half.
Yeah.
Which I've just never seen before, but he is getting that legitimate negative vert sinker. Now he's just got to make sure that he locates it well.
Yeah. Last but not least, the Texas Rangers. Three at Boston this weekend, three against Minnesota next week, three against San Diego. It's a two-start week for Mackenzie Gore, Twins and Padres. So you're going to use that because it's also Padres against a lefty. Where are you at right now with Kumar Rocker?
Oh, my gosh.
He's pitching right now against the Royals. I have not seen the box score. He gets Minnesota next week.
Yeah. It's dancing with the disco. It's a slider, and then sometimes actually more cutters where he goes like 60% between the two, which is all right. I don't love the sinker at all. Right now, he's three innings of zero in runs. That's it. I mean, it's like, all right, if you want to Vargas rule it, go ahead. And I just don't really want to touch Jack Leiter if I can avoid it, but I recognize that's Fenway.
Yeah.
And that's the Red Sox, but I should say. I don't like it's Fenway. And the Mackenzie Gore just had a weird game where he got a higher CSW, threw more strikes, but they were too hittable. I'm not quite sure where we're at with him. And I do like the fact that he gets the Padres at the end of it. It was a step forward, but not the main one. And so it could be one of those that's like, oh, we're looking back, like this was the step forward before he got there. I want that to be the case, but I can't tell you it is yet. So good luck.
Good luck, and good luck to all of you this weekend and next week. Just to recap, we talked about some of the guys we liked. We still like adding Dustin May, and Andre Payante is somebody we're still adding, you know, ish in deeper formats. Okay, Eduardo Rodriguez against the Angels was a start we were intrigued by. I talked Nick into saying that maybe Eric Lauer in deeper formats is something that we're interested enough in.
Keep an eye on Ian Seymour with the Rays. Yeah,
Ian definitely. Seymour. With
Casey Mize coming back, Stephen Kolek.
Yes, Shane Drohan is somebody that we're interested in for this Philly start this weekend, and then maybe holding on to post the Braves start. Ryan Gusto is a name that Nick wanted you to keep an eye on, not necessarily to run an ad, but just to keep an eye on that name.
Because of Sunday the 21st, he would go against the Giants, and that could be very much worth your week.
Gage Jump, if he has a bad start on Friday in Vegas and gets dropped, he's still somebody we're interested in and would, you know, even at that home start against Pittsburgh next week. Kumar Rocker is, you know, on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues. It could be a situation where you're just running with it while it's hot, but it's not a situation where we believe there is long term tons of upside. And then Nick and I are still both in on Griffin Jacks. And so if he's on your waiver wire, Griffin Jacks.
There you go.
And that's it. I'm going to get back to some parental duties. And Saturday, hopefully the Knicks will get back to winning. I am Eric Smolski, the Pelican.
I'm Nick Pollock, the Lion. The Knicks just won yesterday, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Just mean get back, like do it again. Do it again.
Bye, everyone.